praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his love all around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of the oil.
Church, let's all stand. How many of you come with expectation? Hallelujah, because I know he can do anything. I already feel his spirit in the room, so I wonder if you would just act on it and worship him. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Transgression. See? your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Start our own day in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So for our announcements, we have our Recovery Alive this Thursday at 6 p.m. And I don't believe if you haven't made it to one of the meetings yet, I believe you can still come. Sister Michelle would definitely be happy to give you some of the details. And you are more than welcome. It is an awesome place to connect with people, to connect with God's Word, and to be encouraged. So I would encourage any one of us, if you would like, if that sounds good to you, absolutely check with Sister Michelle and she can get you all the information that you need. And this Friday at 7 p.m., our youth and our hyphen, which we have an awesome youth and an awesome hyphen group. Let's give them a hand. They are totally awesome. I am so totally proud to have them, you know, as a part of our church. This 7 o'clock, there's going to be like prayer in their youth. And then March 15th, something super exciting. So just think March 15th, what could be happening? What could that be? Something we don't have very often, but when we do, it's amazing. It's March 15th, so I want you to think about it. It's March 15th. So many times we have announcements and they go over our head, but I want to stress March 15th. It is going to be a Sunday night service right here. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. And that is, I'm going to be with Reverend David Smith. So you don't want to miss it. And who remembers, when's the date?
March 15th.
Woo, hallelujah. I think we got that one. Amen. So, and it's time we're going to do something different. This is also exciting. Some of us families, it was open to anyone, and it's open to anyone again. We had our family Christmas challenge. And it's a place where we can kind of bring unity into the church. We can connect with other families and just really have a lot of fun. And trust me, we had a lot of fun. It was very nice for all of our families just to connect and to communicate one with another. And so this year we're going to have our Easter family challenge. It's going to be kind of something similar to the Amazing Race. And so we're going to have families, and they're going to be, by drawing, we're going to have three families on a team. And there's going to be like challenges that are set forth that you can get together with your families. And it's going to be a race to see who wins. And so Brother Andy has actually put together a promo video for those of you who are on the fence and be like, I don't really know if I want to have that much fun. It might be too much fun for me. I don't know. He put a promo video together. So maybe help you decide, hey, I think this is something we want to do.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to pass this Grinch doll from house to house without getting caught. Should you get caught, you have to move it to another house. You have 72 hours to pass this Grinch.
The first house received an unexpected surprise at their front door, but was quickly moved to the next.
In that time frame, a challenge was set forth between the Game Master and a game participant. Well, it was the Game Master's dog.
Within one night, the Grinch was moved to four different houses, finally landing in Archbold, Ohio, where he met a lovely family that gave him a Bible study. They tried to move the Grinch to a family that wasn't supposed to be home. They got caught, but that family would keep the Grinch because they had a good idea of where to take it next.
Slidger's a fox. He got past all the cameras to hang Grinch on the downspout of the front porch, attaching Santa's sack to hang in the night. This family brought the Grinch indoors to get him warmed up and ready for the next house. In the sack was some ribbon to wrap up the kids' gifts, some candy for the Candyman.
This challenge left everyone in a Grinchy mood that they had to break out their Grinchware. Getting ready for the next house, she found a spot for batteries to make the eyes glow. So at the next house, sure enough, the eyes were glowing. We also left a surprise for the owners. Everyone's house was finally hit once. Now everyone is fair game and watching for when the Grinch would show up again. Over the next few days and weeks, the Grinch traveled around Northwest Ohio, going from Archbold to Defiance to Edgerton, Montpelier, and Eden. Even made a pit stop to say how good Turning Point Church is.
Turning Point Church is awesome.
One family was particularly well-liked. While at their house, they took a nap together, taught the Grinch to play the drums, then took the Grinch to church and gave him a Bible. Like all things, though, the challenge must come to an end. While there was so much fun doing this challenge, Sassy finally won the prize and beat Tom in the race for the Mountain Dew and Michigan blanket.
So, yes, we had a lot of fun, and so you won't be alone. You're going to be, like, connected with two other families, so they can help you if you're like, I just don't know what to do. But there is a sign-up sheet in the back, so please be sure, be one of our fun families, as I like to call them, and sign up and be a part. So at this time, we're going to have our ushers come forth. We get to worship and our giving. Amen. If you need to be financially blessed, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. I can give you a testimony. This has been years ago. I wrote out a check for $500 and I said, God, I want to be able to give that check as a tithe check for 1 week. Now, this was back probably 15 years ago. And God did just that. I prayed over that check and I was like, God, just bless it. And 1 week, I got a check for over $6,000 for 1 week. And so, you know, sometimes in our giving is the only place in the Bible where it says to prove me. And it's through our giving that God, you know, he says, prove me. He challenges us. Prove me and see if I won't open up a blessing. So as our ushers are here, we can all just come and give. Amen. It's our blessing and our giving that's already blessed it.
Today, I know I'm thankful. I go to a church where we're unified, where we're praising the King of Kings, and we have truth. And I know that truth, that He is never going to fail me. If you believe that He is never going to fail you, I wonder if you'll come down to the front and worship with us today. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
All of your problems, all of your pain, all of your troubles,
you can give it to Jesus.
All of your burdens, all of your cares, even your struggles,
you can give it to Jesus.
'Cause He won't fail.
worship him right now.
Answered.
that's a testimony for anyone. Hallelujah. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up upon wings like an eagle and soar. They shall walk. Come on, this is scripture right now. How many of you believe that?
Worship him right now.
your hands. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.
not give a hand clap to the King of Kings? Hallelujah.
Come on, let's give that unto the Lord right now. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, I hope you feel what I feel here today. Amen. How many know there's nothing like the timing of God? I said there's nothing like the timing, the very timing of his process. It goes from trying to prove something to aligning with it.
Yes.
And I feel that here today. I feel an alignment with the assignment. And I feel like some of us just need to step in. You don't have to prove anything to him today. You don't have to prove anything no longer. Just step into alignment. I feel healing here today. I feel strength here today. In the name of Jesus. I feel alignment in the house here today. I feel that. There's such a spirit of worship in this place. How many know you're in a healthy place? Amen. You're in a safe place. Amen. I don't ever want to just go through the motions, because our flesh can kind of do that from time to time if we're not careful. I could preach right there. But I feel like God's timing is here today, and I'm thankful for that. Really am. How many know that God is good and he is faithful? There is goodness and mercy that follow them. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Peter. I want to give honor to Pastor and his family. And I'm thankful that we serve under excellence. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a... I'm thankful for that. I didn't know any of that stuff. Thankful that they are part of my life and part of our story as a family. If only you knew, amen. And you could probably say the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Wherefore lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, and also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter. I prayed my text would be longer than my message, so we'll see. 2 Peter chapter 1. But I do feel like the Lord has given me something for here today. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then one more passage, one more verse for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. For the next few moments, I want to preach just on this subject, growing in a healthy church. Growing in a healthy church. Thank you for standing in the word. Let's go unto the Lord right now. Let's lay down our Bibles. Let's do what we do right now. God, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need your word, God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated this morning. Have you ever met someone or know of someone who has come across a large sum of money or inheritance? I think we all have. Sometimes you're like, how did that happen to them and not me? Anybody ever seen that? But for whatever reason, they still live like they don't have a dime. Anyone know somebody like that? And I understand we need to be frugal, and I'm still kind of learning that. My wife's looking at me. But it's interesting to see how people can live like that. Authors and film directors have stolen this very plot line and recycled it into popular books and movies. It's always the same story. The person with everything yet still lives like they have nothing. And this is just a short example here this morning that although they have great wealth at their dispense, they are already set in their ways. And for whatever reason, the individual that recently came into money or inheritance has a hard time grasping what it really means to have that money in the bank account, what it really means to have that. Some of them we hear about on the news, and they end up losing it all in a short amount of time. Or others still live as if they don't have anything. And unfortunately, if we take a hard look in the mirror sometimes, many believers, myself included, live with a similar mindset. It's true. We have become wealthy through the riches of God's grace and mercy, yet we still live without grasping the full meaning of it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5 says, But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love of which he loved us, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. I want to let you know it is by the grace of God that we have been saved. I want to remind somebody, you can't do good all by yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough. You can't dress good enough. It is by God and him alone that you can be saved, that you can walk in this. It's by the grace and the mercy of God. It really is. Get excited about the word of God, so excuse me. But all too often we have made mistake of viewing grace and mercy as a coupon to live for God cheaply and when it's convenient. Guilty. We've made it a coupon to live cheaply and to live when it's convenient to us. And I've been there many times. And I think Peter had something similar in his mind, or at least I hope, when he wrote, but grow in grace. But grow in grace. And then he said, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. I don't want to just stop at feeling good. I don't want to just stop at feeling goosebumps or feeling accepted. I don't want to just stop there, but I want to know him. I really do. I want to step back and I want to know him when everything else is falling down. I want to know him. When we are growing in God, and that's part of it, we have to grow in God. Amen. It should always draw us closer to his presence. Amen. When we're growing, we should be getting closer to his presence. It should always move us past the point of our initial commitment. It should keep us growing in our initial conversation experience. And even at the young age of 34, I'm still amazed that the God of the universe, which I hardly understand, would want to talk with me. I'm still amazed that the God who created everything wants you and I to be whole. He desires to talk with us, and I know sometimes that can be hard for us to fathom or understand, that the God of the universe wants to talk with me. And yes. I just want to remind someone this morning that you have a heavenly Father that wants to talk to you. I don't know what you grew up like. I don't know if your daddy never talked to you. I don't know your situation, but you've got a heavenly Father that wants to talk to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. I want to remind us that our initial experience of receiving his Spirit is going to help us grow. Amen. When we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad we do around here, God's going to begin to work on your behalf. Situations you didn't know about, you just start praying in the Holy Ghost, and he's going to begin to work on your behalf. When we talk about growth, I think I'm growing this way. It's all right, though. It means moving past the initial point of commitment. And sometimes that can be hard, amen? It means having a life committed to consistent growth. And if we are to be honest, growing is not always exciting. That's why they have growth seminars at your job, because they don't want to deal with it. So you sign up and they'll send you. It's not fun. Growth can be difficult, because we know growth means adjustment. We know that growth means change. I know we all know this, nothing new here today. But hear me out for a moment. Because in order for us to grow in the church, and I mean this with everything I've got, I've just been praying, God, let us have a healthy church. Let us have a healthy body. Come on, we are part of a healthy body. We know who our leader is. We know what things should be. We know things should be in order. There is a spirit of excellence. There is a spirit of worship. Help us have a healthy church. Help us have a healthy body. But in order for us to grow in a healthy church, we have to grow in Christ first. If we're going to be part of a healthy church, we have to stay connected to Jesus. I'm trying to help somebody here today. I really am. The fact of the matter is, it is because of his grace that we're able to obtain forgiveness and receive his Spirit in the first place. And because of that experience of the death, which we repent, the burial, which we are baptized in his name, in the resurrection, when we receive or we're filled with the Spirit like they were in the Bible. Because of that experience, when God begins to move in us, when he begins to push us, we now live a life that can only be lived by actively depending on him. And that's part of growing. When we grow spiritually, we begin to seek God to do what we can't do. Amen. And I just feel that today. I just feel like we need to just push towards that mark. Because you have something that money can't buy. Amen. You have something that wealth can't outlast. We have something that doctors can't explain. Come on. I want to remind myself this morning that greater is he. We got something that this world doesn't have. And if we're not careful, we can walk right past it and begin to operate in our fleshly desires. I want to remind us this morning, if anything, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Peter said it well. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. I believe it's time that some of us rise up and get out of the bed we made. I believe it's time we rise up and walk in the Spirit. It may be a little messy. It may not sound as good as we want it to, but I'm walking. I'm going after it. It's part of growing in God. Part of growing. One college student made the comment, I started studying the life of Jesus Christ to find out who he was for a class. And I end up finding out who I really am and what I can do. I want to simply say that what we have is so much more. Yes, yes, yes. I believe it with every fiber of me. What we have is so much more. This will save your family. This will keep you. I know sometimes it hurts and sometimes you don't always like it, but this will keep you. This will restore you. I've felt it all weekend that there's a divine healing that some just need to step into. I felt healing. I'm just trying to align with it, amen? There is healing in this place. Restoration, and not the hokey pokey restoration. I'm talking about God directed, Bible instructed restoration. Someone starts getting weird on you about restoration, run. We got the real thing, amen? This is not just another self-help method. It's not. We're not trying to just get you to feel good. This is going to restore your family. It is. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. What we have is so much more. And it takes exactly that. It takes that. I can tell you personally that growth is not automatic. I can tell you personally that godly character doesn't just happen by chance. Doesn't just happen, but it comes by being intentional and putting forth the effort and finding that secret place and going even when things hurt or when you don't understand it, keep going. The fact of the matter is we are as spiritual as we want to be. I'm as close to God as I want to be. It doesn't just happen, but we have to go after it. And I know it's one thing to say it and it's another new thing to do it. But it takes us wholeheartedly giving ourselves to the things that promote God's will in our lives. It takes us submitting in areas. I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, let me submit to things that my family never submitted to. Let me see things that they never saw. That's my prayer a lot of times. God, let me step into something they never knew about. Let me go farther. Come on, the more you submit, the more you're going to see. The more you're going to walk it. I feel that right now. I'm not going to just step by that. But the more we submit, the more we give. It may seem like you're going backwards, but God is taking you to another place that your family's never seen. Hey. Takes us wholeheartedly giving ourselves to the things that promote God's will in our lives. It's not a matter of seeking God because there's nothing else to do. It's not a matter of seeking God seasonally because it's just too cold outside. It's not what we're about. But we seek him because we want and we need his presence. Come on, we're living in a time that we need his presence more than ever. My family needs his presence. Your workplace needs his presence. Your school needs his presence. Even when it's sunny out and there's a lot of things to do, we need his presence. Amen. I'm just going to bring out some things that I pray will help us, myself included. Here's a couple things that can help us grow in Christ when we keep these things in alignment with him. The first thing to remember is our desire. Everybody say desire. The fact that you and I are here today shows that we have desire. Amen. But that desire has to come in alignment with him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We have to make sure that we have the same sincere desire to grow in his word. When we brought our baby girl home for the first time, we spent a lot of time painting, more than I probably should because I despise it. But we put up the crib. We found a theme to decorate the room and surround our baby girl in that theme. We were excited. We had bookshelves. My wife said it looked good, so I stopped right when she said that. But when we brought our baby girl home, our baby didn't care about the theme that we picked out. She didn't care about the books or the paint. All she cared about was the formula and the nutrition. If you're a parent, you know that. Say amen. All she cared about was the nutrition. They didn't desire everything that was around them. She could care less about the theme that we worked so hard on. They just wanted the nourishment in order to grow. And I wonder here today if we could get back to the basics. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I feel it or not. Give me the word of God. Let me get in his presence. Let me fall back in love with his word. The word desire comes from the Greek word epothen, and you can say it how you want. It states that it has the same meaning as the word used for deer longing for the water brooks in Psalms chapter 42:1. It says, the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. when our heart is set on getting in his presence, we're going to begin to hunger and long for his ways. The desire will only grow and intensify. It doesn't matter what's happening around me. Doesn't matter what the situation may look like. Just get me close to Jesus. Just get me in his presence. And I feel that right now. I wonder if we could just lift up our hands. We're just going to depend and lean on God for a moment to do what we can't do. In the name of Jesus, there's healing here today. He wants to talk with you. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring healing. That thing he's been asking to surrender, it's not to bring you backwards, it's to bring you closer. In the name of Jesus. Second thing to remember, in order for there to be growth, there has to be self-denial. Everybody say amen. I'll say it myself, amen. It's opposite of the way we normally think. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we know that humans can be self-centered and self-pleasing by nature. Amen. It's true. We all have flesh to deal with. But we can't truly grow until we understand the importance of self-denial, of denying ourselves. And what I am learning and what I've learned, it's not about choosing between what's good and what's bad. But it's about choosing between what's good and what's better. It's refusing to listen to the carnal senses and choosing to pick up what's best for us in the long run. In spite of our own wishes, in spite of what we want. And if we are going to grow, we have to shut some things off. I have to push some things away. In spite of what I want, in spite of what I think, which isn't much. But it's okay to say no, amen. It really, it's okay to say no to the overtime. It's okay to say no to things at times. We may have to say no to the good in order to reach for the best. The third is forsaking all. And I'm not talking about living with nothing. But Luke chapter 14, verse 33 states, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." The fact is, it can be easy to get caught up with our possessions. The fact is, it can get easy getting caught up trying to be caught up with the Joneses. Amen. And Jesus was letting us know that sometimes we got to let some stuff go. Clear the schedule book. Shut off the phone. He's not telling us that we can't have nice things, that we can't have a clean house. Amen. But what he is saying is your stress can go out the window and your health problems can be fixed. When you transfer the problem or your ownership over to him. I want to let you know your stress, it can be gone when we begin to transfer those things from my possessions to God. They're yours. You just let me have them for a little bit. I said your health problems, my health problems, they can be fixed when I transfer. And when I trust in him, when we begin to allow God to take inventory, that's when growth happens. The Fourth one is probably my favorite, steadfastness. Wish to have all of it that I can have and more, but only we'll see. John chapter 8, verse 31 states, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The Amplified Version says, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are my disciples. And I am in no way, shape, or form a runner. I think that's obvious. But one thing that is true is that this is not a 100-yard dash race. This is not a sprint to see who wins. It's not. But this is a long-distance marathon. It is about the eternity of our soul. At the end of the day, it's about the eternity where we're going to spend. It's a marathon. It's a walk with Him. And at some point in this walk, or run, depending on who you are, we have to develop an unwillingness to throw in the towel. We have to develop an unwillingness to just give up, to just throw in the towel, to just say, that's not for me. I want to let you know prayer is for us. As hard as it is to say, fasting is for us. As much as I don't like it, consecration, all those things are good for us. They are for you. You've got to get rid of the flesh, and you've got to not throw in the towel. Jesus saw the cross as his destiny. Imagine that. And when the time came for him to go to Jerusalem, he refused to throw in the towel. He refused to stop short. Even though he understood what was going to happen on that cross, he understood that there were some watching for him to seize him, yet he kept going. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I pray that we get that steadfastness in us today. I pray that we have that kind of boldness that says, I don't care what it looks like, I'm going. I don't care if I've fallen 100 times. I'm going. I don't care who's watching to see if I fall. I'm going after it. I want that kind of steadfastness. I want that kind of boldness in my life. If we're going to grow, we're going to need that kind of steadfastness in this end time. The last one we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, familiar verse. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know that there's a difference between someone just standing there and someone moving. Pretty simple. With a quick glance, we can tell whether someone's moving or not. And Paul was reminding us that this walk is not just an isolated walk. It's not rooted in a giant step or leap. It's not rooted in how hard we press or how much we try to prove. It's not rooted in a mountaintop experience. But what Paul was telling us is that we need to walk continually in this. Paul was saying it's one practical spiritual step after another. I want to say that again. It's one practical spiritual step after another. Paul was saying it's about getting in alignment with And here's the thing. Some steps, they're going to be greater than other steps. Some are going to be harder than others. Some steps may lead you to higher ground. Other steps may not. But in its simplest form, this spiritual life that we live is a walk. At its core, it's a willingness to keep going. It's not about the one thing, but it's about every step, continually moving without giving up. I read this in a teacher's book, and I stole it. Been stealing a lot of stuff. Says this about living a conscience and consistent dependency on the Spirit if we want to please Him. Constantly depending on Him. Consciously having that in our mind. God, I need you. God, I want you to move in my life. I can't do it on my own. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I really do. I think we all do. Amen. If we could have the musicians come and if we could stand. But we can try to do everything right. We can try to dot the I's and cross the T's. We can try to impress and even influence. But if we don't have the Spirit moving, the roots will never go deeper. There will never be a moment where we're planted in order for there to be real growth to happen. If we don't have the Spirit of God moving, we will never mature in His Word. Something that sobers me, 2 Timothy chapter 3:7 says, we'll just be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I don't want to be 40, 50, 60, 70, God bless us, and still feel like I'm never learning and going in circles. But I want to be rooted in this. I want to grow in this, because what we have is so much more. And I'm thankful to say I'm part of a healthy church. I'm thankful to say I'm part of a growing church. And if we're going to be part of a healthy and a growing church, that means growth. Getting out of our comfort zone. Letting some things burn in our flesh. I know that can be hard to own, and at times it's going to feel like you're going backwards. But if we'll ever allow the Spirit of God to move in that situation, if you'll just pump the brakes long enough, get rid of the distractions long enough, say, God, I need you. I'm telling you, growth will happen. And I'm coming to an end, but this is how we know when growth is taking place. When Christ becomes visible in your life, when our personalities begin to bear the mark of God's attributes, that's when growth begins to happen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. Peter was letting us know that if we want growth, it's going to take an all-out effort on our part. The Bible says giving in all diligence to improving. Those two words imply paying a high cost, and the other one means great effort. So we're going to open up this altar here. And I'm going to just begin to pray faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Diligence right now. Let's go out.
Thank you.
of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. with a hand clap of praise. We're going to pray one more time before we're dismissed. Let's just lift up our hands right now. Lord, I felt like there's gifts here today that are going to come alongside, and they're going to be a help, and they're not going to be a hindrance. I feel that. I felt it all week. There's going to be help, not a hindrance. There's going to be gifts that begin to operate, and I know they already are. I know we're past those things, but I felt like God's just wanting us to connect with the very thing He's given us, to connect with where He's put us, and to grow in that